Hey ghouls, and welcome to Let's Go Ghouls podcast. I'm your host, Witch Lenny, and as always, before jumping into this week's episode, let's catch up on our weeks. Let me know how your week went by emailing me at letsgoogleespod@gmail.com. This week was a pretty good one for me. I've really been getting into the podcast Instagram and working really hard and getting more posts out there for you guys and good quality content posted to the best of my ability. So go check that out. It's at Let's Go Ghouls Podcast on Instagram. I've been spending a lot of time in my home office that I am so lucky to have and so thankful to have, because it's allowed me to get so much more work done as of recently that I couldn't do otherwise, like if I was just trying to get it done in my room. I feel like that's a pretty common occurrence though. Like, most people need to go outside of their bedroom or at least have a desk set up for specifically work reasons in their bedroom to be able to get stuff done. Like, I can try to get some stuff done while I'm laying in bed, but like, it's really hard to do, and I feel like that's pretty normal for most people. My mom was actually in town on Friday for work, and we got lunch and caught up before she had to head back home. I went on a really long car ride in the middle of nowhere for no particular reason. I just wanted to get out of the house because I hadn't really been out of the house for almost an entire week. So I just went on a like 4-hour drive, and that was, I think, exactly what I needed. I have noticed more spirits in the house recently, and I think that's pretty normal as we move close to Samhain. I've been doing a little bit more cleansing as of recently. I haven't really gotten any bad vibes from most of the spirits apart from like one or two, which is perfectly okay in my book, because like, I cleansed and they're not there anymore, or at least they're not surfacing anymore. So as long as they're not bothering us, I guess that's fine. But I think seeing more spirits is more normal around Samhain, because the veil is becoming a little bit more thinner in between the different worlds and ours. So that's kind of what I expected as we moved closer to the 31st of October. I've just been cleansing with either incense, or I have my own homemade bundles that I made with garden sage and rosemary, and it works really, really well, and I really like the way that it smells. So I just made little mini bundles with the herbs that you can get from the grocery store, and I just bundled them up and I hung them to dry, and they work really well for me. So if you're looking for an alternative to regular white sage that you have maybe purchased when you didn't know any better like I did, that's a really good alternative. I just use twine, normal like twine from like either the Dollar Tree, or even I'm sure Baker's twine would be fine too, or whatever that's called. Moving on, speaking of Samhain, that's today's episode topic, like I said. So Samhain takes place on October 31st through November 1st. It is a pagan festival that originates from ancient Celtic spiritual traditions. It marks the end of the harvest season and the beginning of the winter. It's halfway between the autumn equinox and the winter solstice. It's believed that the barriers, or the veil, like I said, between the worlds is thinner during this time, which allows for more interaction between the living and the dead, but also members of other worlds and realms like the Fae. So I did get a gift from the Fae, which had me like shitting my pants a little bit. I'm not even gonna lie to you, because that's terrifying. So I didn't pick it up with my hands, because that's something people have always said not to do. I don't know how true that is, but like, I didn't pick it up with my hands. I picked it up with a rag, and like, I took it over off of my property and like kind of tossed it off my property. And I said, your kindness is appreciated, but I have to decline your gift. And that was that on that. And they haven't bothered me since. I did try to leave out an offering of milk and honey, but it got knocked over by my dogs. So I don't know if that's going to be seen as disrespectful. I really hope not. But I did try. Maybe my efforts will be taken into consideration. The history behind this Sabbat marks it as the last of the four fire festivals of the year, and also the pagan new year, or a witch's new year. The Celts marked Samhain as the most significant of the four fire festivals because during this time, an earth fire, or I can't pronounce how they're actually said, but it's a really long word that I really tried to Google how to say it correctly, but we're just going to call them earth fires or hearth fires. These would be lit in a family home and were left to burn while the harvest was gathered. These are very small fires and were meant to protect the home and the people that live there from the Fae or evil witchcraft. After the harvest work was done, people would get together and the druid priests would light a community fire, and using they would use a wheel because it would cause frictions and spark flames for the fire. This wheel represented the sun, and it was a ritual way to honor the sun god. Cattle were sacrificed during this ritual and after the community. After this community ritual or bonfire of sorts, everyone would bring home a piece of the flame of the fire to back to their homes to relight their earth fire. Some of the earlier texts say that this celebration was mandatory because those who didn't participate would be punished by the gods with illness or even death. Going along with the earth fire tradition, dump supper is also an old tradition associated with Samhain that many modern pagans still incorporate into their celebration. So dump supper is when ancestors would be invited in so the food of the feast could be eaten all together as a whole family. This gave the family an opportunity to interact with spirits and the spirits of past loved ones. After dinner, the children would play games to entertain the spirits, and adults would catch up with them on events of the year, or this is what is thought to have happened. At night, the doors and windows of the home would be left open so the dead could have cakes and treats that were left out for them. So this is very similar to what I think of when I think of Dia de los Muertos. That's the most widest way I could say that. I am so sorry. Or Day of the Dead and Latinx traditions. So I found this to be very interesting to have that many parallels and that many, or like, to have that many parallels and them be so similar. A modern ritual that is most similar to dump supper goes like this. So you have a meal ready and waiting to eat before you even begin the ritual. Include things like lots of dark breads, apples, fall vegetables, and cider or wine, or even both. Set the table with a place for each member of the family and leave an extra plate for the ancestors. Place a candle on the altar for family members to have that have recently passed. Once the candles are lit, everyone should join around the altar, and the oldest adult present should say, "This is a night when the gateway between our world and the spirit world is thinnest. Tonight is a night to call out to those who came before us. Tonight we honor our ancestors, spirits of our ancestors. We call to you and welcome you to join us in this night. We know that you watch over us always, protecting us and guiding us. And tonight we thank you. We invite you to join us and share our meal." And the oldest family member then serves everyone at the table, but serves the ancestors first. When everyone is done eating, clear all the plates except for the ancestors. Pour the cider or wine in a cup and pass it around the table and have it end at the ancestors' place. As each person receives the cup, they should recite their genealogy, include at least one past generation. For example, I am Lenny, daughter of my mother's name and granddaughter of grandmother's name, or both. You can say both your parents and both of your grandparents, or even go as far to say great-granddaughter of, and go on like that. After each person recites, they drink from the cup and pass it to the next person. If you're adopted, you can state that you're adopted, or birth family, or both, or you can even say that I am the child of unknown, and just leave it at that. After the cup has gone around the table and the cup has landed in the ancestors' place, the youngest at the table should say, "This is the cup of remembrance. We remember all of you. You are dead, but not forgotten, and you live within us." And that's how you would end the ritual. The Christian church leaders tried reframing Samhain into a Christian tradition. It started with Pope Boniface in the 5th century by moving the celebration to May 13th and made it a day to celebrate saints and martyrs. Now, if you live in the Southern Hemisphere, Samhain would take place. Your time to celebrate Samhain would not be October 31st through November 1st. It would be a different time of the year because that's when your fall season is, since it's different from the northern hemispheres. But Pope Gregory in the 9th century moved the celebration back to the original days and called them All Saints Day and then All Souls Day. There are a few common monsters associated with Samhain, and the stories and lore of one of the most popular ones are the Pooka. The word Pooka means goblin. The word Pooka means goblin, and this creature is a shapeshifter that can take any form it chooses. It's most commonly seen as a horse, dog, goat, goblin, or old man. It is traditionally seen as a dark, sleek horse with long, wild mane and golden eyes. It appears at night, and they're typically encountered in more rural areas. It is said that each county in Ireland has its own Pooka, and they speak all kinds of languages, and they talk to humans. They tend to not tell the entire story or embellish the truth. They like creating chaos or mischief. There are a few stories associated with the Pooka all over Ireland, and the most common are the drunken horse ride home. The Pooka will pick up a drunk person trying to make their way home, and they will instead take them on the craziest, most wild ride of their lives. They'll make crazy jumps and will buck the person off. When the morning comes, they'll throw them off no matter where they are, and the person still has to find their way home. The next is when people report having conversations with a Pooka. They like giving advice or telling old prophecies. He will suddenly disappear without ending the conversation or without a single sign he was there in the first place. There's also a Lady Gwyn that appears as a woman dressed in all white and sometimes appears as a headless, evil, and vindictive being. She pretends to be lost in order to lure and chase people. She is most often caught wandering at night in search for a victim. I just had to call Trey in order to pronounce this word right, because he heard me pronounce it wrong, and I think my Faye episode, and he's grilled my ass about it ever since. So I'm so sorry if you're listening to this and I still said it wrong, because I just had to call him. The Dullahan, also known as the Headless Horseman, has been spotted regularly on Samhain as well. This being is considered a death omen. There's a group referred to as the Fairy Host that is a group of hunters that are known to kidnap humans. If you hear footsteps behind you, don't look back, because there may be a spirit there that's following you. If you host a dump supper, no one should talk, because this will allow the spirits to come in and dine with you more easily. Burying animal bones in front of your house on the night of Samhain is said to keep evil spirits away. It's also a good time to... This is also a good time of year to practice divination and communicating with the dead. I recommend using a pendulum or playing cards as the most safest forms of communication. I would say to stay away from spirit or Ouija boards or mirrors, as they're very unpredictable and you don't know what might come through, and you don't know if you're going to be able to handle what might come through. There are some animals that are associated with this time of year, and their meanings are... There are some animals that are associated with certain meanings around this time of year as well. There's a superstition about owls, and this comes from the Appalachia. It says that owls fly down on Samhain. Fuck, what? There's a superstition about owls that comes from the Appalachia, and it says that owls that fly down on Samhain night want to eat the souls of the dead. And according to this legend, an owl hooting means that death is coming. And this could mean that the Dullahan, or death, is coming in general. If you see an owl circling during the day, it means that there's bad news coming for someone nearby. And it's said that if bats come out early during Samhain and fly around, it means good weather is coming. And some believe that if a spider is seen on Samhain, it means that an ancestor is watching you. October 31st became known as All Hallows. Fuck. October 31st became known as All Hallows Eve and kept up with traditional pagan practices, but twisted them around the 19th century when Irish immigrants brought these traditions across the ocean. Why did I read it like that? Trick-or-treating is thought to originate from ancient Irish and Scottish practices in the nights leading up to Samhain. Ireland had a tradition known as mumming, where people would wear costumes and go door-to-door singing songs, and cakes would be given to the singers as payment. Jack-o'-lanterns came from the story of Stingy Jack, the man who tricked the devil twice. It's said that he tricked the devil in captivity twice, but the second time the devil agreed to not take Jack's soul when he died. When he died, it's said that heaven didn't want him because the devil made a deal with him, and because he made a deal with the devil couldn't take Jack's soul either. The devil sent him away with a burning piece of coal to light his way. Jack carved out a piece of turnip to hold his coal, and he's been wandering ever since. People began calling him Jack of the Lantern, but it got shortened later to what we know now today as Jack-o'-lantern. Bobbing for apples used to be a form of divination used on Samhain, and whoever bit into the apple first was the person who would be getting married first in the new year. Because this is known as the Witch's New Year, and it's leading more into the darker half of the year, this is the time to wrap up your past and start the process of moving forward for new things that will come in the new year. Wrap up things that have gone unresolved or unfinished in your life, and tie up all those loose ends so you can have a fresh start in the new year. There are a couple small things to do on Samhain that I'm probably going to end up doing this year as well, because I don't really want to leave my house. So the first is you can decorate your altar. You can honor your ancestors with pictures or some of their favorite things, or even family heirlooms. You can decorate with the colors of the season, like dark oranges and purples, maroons, and black. Skulls, pine cones, and leaves are also good ways to decorate your altar around this time of year. Wine, root vegetables, and apples are also good to decorate with, as they're the foods and drinks of the season. A bonfire, fireplace fire, cauldron fire, or even candle magic are a great way to celebrate, as it's the last of the four fire festivals of the year. There's a small releasing ritual that I did on Beltane with my friends and roommates that went really well, so I'm going to share that with you. It's really small. It's you can write down what you want to let go of in the new year, or what you want to let go of in order to move forward in the new year. Write it down on a piece of paper. Write it down on a piece of paper and then throw it into the fire. Imagine yourself replacing that, say, bad habit with a new habit that's better for you and can better your life in general. You can do this ritual in a fireplace or even a cauldron. If it's not safe for you to do a bonfire where you live, or you don't have access to a spot where you can do a fire outside, candle magic for protection and letting go are also good options if bonfires or fireplace fires or even cauldron fires aren't accessible to you. If you have family or roommates, a nice meal is a good way to celebrate with everyone. You can choose to do the ancestor ritual or not. I probably won't be doing that. You can talk about your past loved ones as a way to honor their life instead if you choose not to do the ritual. You can make your favorite meal or get takeout from your favorite place if that's not what you're into either. You can just have time to reflect with yourself and have that alone time. You can have, reflect in your journal or in your head, reflect on the good and the bad of the year and how/what you want to do better for next year. Show thanks and gratitude for the meal and the people around you in your life and what's been going on in your life in general. Also incorporate this gratitude into your journaling, even about situations you have labeled as bad. Show gratitude for those situations because they taught you a lesson at the end of the day. Be thankful that whatever you learned from that situation, or just be thankful that it's over and you're out of it in general. Samhain is a time of releasing, letting go, and making room for better things and being thankful, as well as honoring those who have passed. However you choose to celebrate, no matter how big or small, I hope you have a fantastic Samhain. So that's all I have on Samhain, so let's move into the crystal and card of the cast. The card of the cast is the Ace of Swords, which means that you're about to experience a huge breakthrough. Maybe this is because you're reflecting on your past year and you may be letting go of bad or old habits that are no longer serving you, which means they could have been holding you back. So by letting them go, you're allowing yourself to step into these amazing new opportunities, which leads to this breakthrough in your life. Maybe you've been trying to reach these goals and your spirit guide. Maybe you've been trying to reach your goals for a really long time, or even you've been trying to reach your spirit guides or your ancestors, and this is going to allow you to finally break through that barrier. Say you've been trying to reach out to your ancestors in an ancestor meditation. You just haven't been able to yet. With this veil being thinner and you trying to practice your divination and communications with the dead, this may allow you to connect with your ancestors in a way that you've never been able to before. So that could be the breakthrough that this card is talking about, not just in your physical life, but in your magical practice as well. You trying to reach out to your ancestors or spirit guide team. The sword is able in sorts to cut through deception and find the truth in your life. You'll be able to see the world with a whole new point of view, so you're not going to have, say, this veil over your eyes for how most people see the world. You're going to be able to see the world for how it actually is, or you'll be able to see through people's crap if they're not being true and genuine to themselves, or even just good and genuine people. You're going to be able to see through it because I'm the type of person who has always been able to feel when somebody is just a little bit off most of the time. So say for someone like me, this may be the final step to me being able to see through their crap all of the time. But trust your intuition, trust your gut, and that'll really help build that muscle of sorts, so you can see through people's crap more regularly. Always trust your gut. You'll be able to see the world with this whole new point of view, and this time of year to work on your goals with this new perspective is also fitting as we move into the new year and the time of new beginnings. So with your whole new perspective on the world, this may allow you to make that final step that you needed to completing your goals, or take that final step to starting your goals, because you've been able to find that truth in your life. Say something in your life has been holding you back and you finally let that one thing go, and you're able to step into who you truly are and be yourself and work towards those goals. And the crystal of the cast is howlite. Now, this isn't a stone that I have heard of, which is pretty surprising, because at the very beginning of my practice, I kind of fell face first into crystals because they're super shiny and super pretty and I wanted all of them. But as of more recently, I still use them in my practice, but I don't use them as heavily as I used to. I do really appreciate their power and their beauty, so I do keep them on my altar majority of the time, but this isn't a stone that I've heard of. This stone teaches you patience and helps remove rage and uncontrolled anger. So this could be seen as something that's holding you back in your life, because anger is a secondary emotion. It's not something that's felt by itself. It's something that you feel second to another emotion like fear or disgust or even sadness, because it's so much easier to feel anger than it is to feel those other emotions. So if you're quick to anger and so if you find yourself being quick to anger, this might be why. So again, we're going to go back to reflection. Reflect on what is making you feel anger and when this anger started. So say you were fine the whole morning and you get to some place that you needed to be and you're angry all of a sudden. Why are you feeling angry? That is a secondary emotion. What is the emotion that you felt before you felt anger, and what is making you feel that first emotion, and why do you feel the need to mask it with anger? What are you trying to protect? Because that's ultimately what a lot of people do, is they feel that secondary emotion of anger to protect them in some way, because say with like somebody with trauma, that's how they survived, because it's easier to feel anger than it is to feel sadness or fear. So what is making you feel this anger? What's making you feel that first emotion? And is it something that you can remove from your life? Is it something that you're going to have to work on to get readjusted so it's not, say, a trigger for you anymore? This stone will help keep you calm and settle everyone else down around you as well. Be sure to cleanse your crystal after each encounter. This is one of those that is not a self-cleansing crystal, say like selenite is. I think black tourmaline is as well. I think I've had this discussion on the podcast as well, but I'm not sure if it is or not. But I know that selenite is a self-cleansing crystal, but this one isn't. And it says to cleanse it after every use. So what I would do probably is cleanse it every night before I go to bed by either placing it in the moonlight or I don't think this one is dissolvable by water, so maybe running it over some water or leaving it out next to some moon water maybe. But the most feasible way for you to cleanse this every day is to just leave it out in the moonlight. It's not gonna get sun bleached. Just take it out of the windowsill every morning and you're probably gonna be good to go. But whatever your favorite cleansing crystal method is, obviously do that. That's just something that would be a little bit easier for me personally, is just placing it in my windowsill every night before I go to bed. Howlite stills the mind and is excellent for sleep and meditation as well. So if you're somebody like me who struggles really badly with meditation because I can't get my mind to slow down, this might be a good crystal to incorporate into your meditation. Maybe if you sit cross-legged, maybe keep it on one of your knees, or you can wear it as a pendant on a necklace, or you can hold it in your hands or wear it as a bracelet. I would personally like to hold it in my hands because I clasp my hands when I try to meditate. It helps ensure a calm and reasoned form of communication. So if you find that you have a hard time with communication, this sounds like it really opens up your throat chakra and allows you to communicate your true feelings and desires in life with those who you feel as though you can trust. This stone is said to strengthen memory and instills a need for knowledge. So I feel like you're already going through a spiritual awakening. You already have that need for knowledge and you want to know how the world works around you in a different form and a different perspective. Going back to that part of the benefits of this crystal, is said to strengthen memory and instills a need for knowledge. It can calm turbulent emotions, especially those that have past life causes. So if you don't feel as though you have trauma in this life, you may be carrying trauma from past lives. That's a possibility. If that's something that you resonate with or believe in, that's also a possibility. So if you're quick to anger and you don't really know why, if you haven't really experienced trauma in this lifetime, you may have experienced it in a past life and you're soul is holding on to that trauma. It absorbs stress, tension, anxiety, and other intense emotions. And when it's placed on the heart chakra, it will renew your patience and love for others. So again, if you're quick to anger, this may be something that gets pushed to the wayside, because when you're angry, you don't have patience. And it's hard to find love for others when you're in that heightened state of being, of living, because that's essentially what anger is. So this really helps bring you back down to ground level and really helps calm those stressors, those anxieties, those tensions in your life that could be holding you back, and allows you to communicate better with those around you, which again will lead to better patience and a greater love for the ones around you. It's very helpful for cooling heated emotions and regaining emotional balance. The stone relieves intense pressure during potentially explosive situations. So again, if you're angry, it also has a cleansing vibration. It provides you with a higher understanding of the source of emotional stress and giving you a new and lighter perspective of the world around you. So that's going to be a really good stone to use for Samhain if you're really trying to let go of those bad habits of, say, being quick to anger and being quick to argument and being quick to just being hot-headed. This crystal will be a good one to work with around Samhain when you're reflecting on how you react to these situations, how you interact in your day-to-day life, and you can reflect on why you don't really want to be like that anymore and how it really deters you. Because you can say that you don't like that aspect of yourself all day long, but until you know why, until you reflect on how it's actually holding you back, most people, myself included, wouldn't be that inclined to change. So working with this crystal can really also help moving forward after you've come to that realization, after you've reflected on it and maybe even journaled about it. I recommend journaling because it really helps sort out my personal headspace and like how I think about things. But working with this crystal after you've reflected during your reflections, it may help you in your future communications and help you keep that cool level head that you may find hard to keep on your own. So that's all I have for this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to Les Googles podcast. Rate and review me on iTunes. That'd be a huge help. It really helps get the word out about this podcast. Tell your friends and family. The best way to get the word out there is by word of mouth. But rating and reviewing me on iTunes is also a humongous help. Send me your encounters or tell me how I'm doing at lesgooglespod@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram at lesgooglespodcast. And then I also have a Facebook page and a Facebook group, both Les Googles Podcast. So thank you so much for listening. And until next time, I'm your host, Witch Lenny, and stay spooky.